Welcome to episode 74 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Barton. Let me introduce you to a group of algae called diatoms. They enclose their cellular bodies in something called a frustule. This is sort of like a rocky shell. Diatoms are single-celled creatures, but some of them can get as large as 2 millimeters across. The frustule is composed of silica. That's silicon dioxide. It's the same stuff that makes quartz if allowed to crystallize. Or, if cooled too quickly to crystallize, it makes glass. Yeah, the same glass used in windows for making mirrors, lenses, and prisms. The algae makes its shell, its frustule, by polymerizing silicate acid. In the previous episode, we talked about S. rosetta. That is a type of chonoflagellate. It's not the only one by any means. Another kind of chonoflagellate, or several of them, will build what are called lorica around their cell bodies. They're composed of strips of silica, cemented together, and formed into sort of a basket shape. It forms those strips of silica by polymerizing silicate acid. This is the same process used in diatoms. In fact, the loricate chonoflagellates stole the idea from algae. They even stole that little bit of the DNA in a process called horizontal gene transfer. Darwin published his Origin of Species in 1859. He had no idea there was such a thing as horizontal gene transfer. That wasn't discovered until 1951. It was first described in Seattle, Washington, after some research was done on the disease diphtheria. It's far more common in bacteria than in multicellular creatures. In fact, bacteria seem to do it on purpose. There are several mechanisms. In one, bacteria will take genetic information from just about anything they run into, things they are eating, or just chunks of code they bump into. It seems quite deliberate, since there's quite a bit of machinery involved in making it happen. There are even places in their genetic code where they tend to insert these genes to try them out. They're called hotspots. In another process, two bacteria will snuggle up against each other and trade genetic information. Mostly they're trading what are called plasmids, which are small loops of DNA without being encapsulated by any kind of protein or lipid membrane that are separate from the main source of genetic information and can replicate independently. Plasmids can change the nature of bacteria considerably. They can be used to trade resistance to antibiotics, and in cases like E. coli, they can mean the difference between a beneficial symbiote and a virulent disease. In another process, which is less deliberate on the part of the host cells, bacterial phages, which are viruses that infect bacteria, will enter a host and incorporate some of the DNA from the host into themselves, move on to enter a new host, and then write that DNA into the host. It doesn't just happen with single-celled creatures. There's evidence of horizontal gene transfer between fungus and insects, between insects and plants, even in humans. There are viruses that will write their genetic code into our DNA. Some of this has been implicated in forming various, thankfully rare, forms of cancer. It goes in the other direction as well. There are bacteria that will incorporate some of our genetic information into themselves. This probably helps them produce proteins that hide them from our immune system. Our immune system works by recognizing substances that are not part of our biology and attacking if a bacteria can produce a few proteins that are normally available in our bodies. The immune system may not recognize them as dangerous foreign bodies. Those bacteria and other animals that do this deliberately will often do it when under stress. It's strangely similar to the animals that have a choice between asexual and sexual reproduction, who opt for sexual reproduction when under stress. And why not? If what you're doing isn't working, why not try some other experiment? Difference being, of course, the sexual recombination of DNA ends up being an experiment done with the children, whereas horizontal transfer means that you are doing the experiment right then and there. In Darwin's original theory, changes were considered to happen entirely through mutation, or through the mixing of traits from the parents. In a way, you can consider horizontal gene transfer as a type of mutation, especially when it happens without the organism trying to do it deliberately. But it's a little less random than that. Presumably, when you are a bacterium and you are grabbing genetic information from other single-celled creatures, you are grabbing tricks that worked. They may or may not work for you, but it is a little bit better odds than simply having something randomly change somewhere within your own information. It has been interesting to look at single-celled creatures and the early development that led to multicellular creatures. But starting next time, we'll look at evolution of creatures that are already multicellular. I'll see you then.